Isn't this a sports show?
This show is for some people. I don't know if any of them are currently listening, but there is a type of person that just loves this show. We just have to find a few of them.
Almost entirely.
I meant to warn you at the front end that this show is, we're going to talk about some NFL stuff and some Chiefs stuff, but you're going to have to, this show is going to be unapologetically this show today.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
We have one laughing emoji reaction so far to the show. I'm going to assume that that's laughing with us.
God, I hope so.
Take the show with you by listening on the Sports Radio 810 mobile app at 810WHB.com or by searching for Almost Entirely Sports wherever you get your podcasts.
There's podcasts of this bleep everywhere.
This is Almost Entirely Sports on Sports Radio 810.
We're back, baby. Back from Chiefs training camp. I'm here in one piece in a Hawaiian shirt with a couple of tan lines, because I've been outside more over the last 3 weeks or so than I had probably been the rest of this year combined, and that's not a joke. So slightly more tan slash red, and significantly more educated in the ways of the Chiefs practicing. We all made it through Chiefs training camp, everybody. Give yourselves a round of applause. Just kidding, I found a horn. Interchin Logan is here for his final day. He has set up the animals. The possum is currently blowing a party horn. He's here. Beards McFly on the side of the glass. Rudy's making his way back from a remote. And we're going Chiefy today, because we still can. And that's freedom. We've wrapped up Chiefs camp. We've got a lot of stories from there. We've talked to a lot of people from there. I have been there. I left a hoodie in the Stony Creek Hotel the first time I was there. Then I went back and they still had it. Shout out to Stony Creek. I may have left another hoodie there this week. I'll find out next year probably. But everybody in St. Joe was great. St. Joe was great. Being out there every day was a lot of fun, except for the times that Chase Litton, Kyle Shermer, or Chad Henne were throwing the football. Other than those specific times, it was a lot of fun out there, and we'll continue to break down a few things. We also didn't have a show last night, so we got audio from these last 2 days where everybody says a lot of words, and we do have a lot of words from the last couple of days, but there are some truly interesting snippets from each of these players that have spoken over the last couple of days that I want to bring to you. We'll also talk to Brooke Pryor of the Kansas City Star. You'll find out over the course of our conversation that, of course, I recorded this earlier because I go from being here in the studio to being back in St. Joe. I'm sorry to disrupt the theater of the mind, but I couldn't keep the illusion going for a full hour. We have a full hour long conversation with Brooke Pryor that will come around here at 8, and she wrote an article up on KansasCity.com about the relationship between Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid, and we're going to talk about that with her. We have already talked about that. But if you haven't read that story yet, it's really, really good. You can hear Andy Reid in his quotes being just giddy about the fact that he finally has unlimited potential in his young quarterback and in what he can present to his young quarterback. So it's a really fun story, and we'll talk to Brooke about that, and then also all of the madness that's happened over the course of Chiefs camp. I also want to give you some sort of, like, my biggest takeaways, and not necessarily things that happened today, because bleep all happened today. As Todd Lebo was leaving yesterday after doing his hit with Anderson yesterday, he said, "If you want to know what tomorrow's practice is going to look like," as I was on the radio, I was watching trucks come through taking away big piles of football equipment. So today everybody showed up in jerseys and shorts and helmets, and occasionally special teams players kicked a football. That was more or less kind of how it went out there today. Well, the weather these last 2 days was incredible. It was scorching every day. Today's last two. It was beautiful in St. Joe. But so individual things happening on the field over the last 2 days That's a relatively short list, but the overall storylines that we can now look to are more substantial. We might do a little 53-man roster prediction tomorrow. We'll see if I'm feeling frisky. I won't be like driving back from St. Joe tomorrow, so I might just hang out. I might just break out a whiteboard and just say, you know what? We're gonna really dig in. I'm writing down 53 names, and this is my official prediction. We can also, you know, look ahead a little bit to the rest of the preseason action, but I gotta be just terribly honest. I could give a bleep about the rest of the preseason. And that's not because preseason games are, you know, fundamentally inferior versions of the real thing, which is true. But it's because I'm so, so ready to see this team actually playing football games. It's the most excited I've ever been for a season of football in my life. It's not even close. Last year was probably second place. But this year is clearly number one because all of the excitement last year that was sort of nervous energy is now a sort of confident energy. Looking at what this team could be, it's no longer hoping. It's expecting. And expectations are scary. Like, whenever you're expected to achieve at a certain level, if you don't, it's a disappointment. Mahomes could have been not the MVP last year and still given this fan base something to be excited about and something to be hopeful for. This year, it's different, man. It's just different this year. There are expectations, and there should be. They're justified, and that's exciting. And so, like, we're gonna cover these preseason games, and we're going to find the fun in it, and we're gonna find the most important things. On Saturday, we'll be breaking it down. We got pregame, postgame, and all sorts of action. That again, we will find the storylines in there, and some young guy will show out. Somebody's probably going to get hurt, and we'll figure out how things change around the events through the preseason. But if I could hit the sim week button a couple of times and skip to the first regular season game, I'd do it in a heartbeat because I'm ready for the real thing at this point. And I imagine you probably are too. And what I think probably contributes to that the most for me right now is what I'm choosing to make my personal kind of like first story out of the gate as far as training camp takeaways and things that stand out. Nothing on this team is capable of standing out more than the offense altogether. And it's each individual aspect. Because Patrick Mahomes has looked excellent, and he got picked off by Breland Speaks two times in back-to-back days. And I'm still telling you, not Bashaud Breland.
Oh, my God!
You know where Breland Speaks was not, Beards, on those picks?
In the air?
On the ground. Because he's never on the ground.
Ever!
And actually, I want to play... Today, we're going to play two clips from Breland Speaks at some point in tonight's show. Because I'm willing to... You'll find out what I'm willing to do here as far as expectations for Breland Speaks. We're gonna morph some things. Listening to him talk yesterday was pretty interesting. He also admitted, don't have this audio for later, but he had told to tell you now. He admitted that he may have had too much fun this offseason, and then as he came back, he's lost a lot of weight. It's a weird thing for professional football players say. Damian Williams said that during the offseason, he went through a bunch of tests and found out that he's allergic to spinach, which is also strange. But Damian Williams found out he was allergic to spinach. Breland Speaks found out that he probably, like, ate too many pastries or something. Kind of an odd thing. We'll talk about him some. I think that if you're going to kind of try to start from the beginning a little bit, say, all right, where did this season lead me? Where did this training camp lead me? It would be disingenuous to start somewhere other than Patrick Mahomes and the offense around him. I'm over the regression storyline and that thought process. I'm already past that.
But Baker Mayfield won't have a regression.
It's a weird, specific thing for you to throw a barb at. Why do you hate Baker Mayfield?
You know, that it's just a lot of national media is like...
thinks he's going, his second year is going to get... Yeah, I mean, that's actually a fair point.
A lot of Browns hype.
Beards, I don't say this very often, but that is a pertinent, relevant, and all-around decent NFL observation you just had. It's like a unicorn just wandered into the studio. Are you feeling okay?
I'm fine so far.
Do you want to say something about the NBA just to kind of offset?
I forgot DeMarcus Cousins was on the Lakers. I could never remember.
So did I!
I could never remember that he was on the Lakers. And then, they don't have him now. Okay.
I did the exact same thing.
They got Anthony Davis this summer.
I think it was Rudy
who was... Cousins has a torn ACL for the Lakers. Wait, what? Yeah, he's on the team.
Rudy was on his phone.
And I'm an NBA fan.
And he was just like, DeMarcus Cousins tore his ACL. I was like, oh, man, that sucks. Injuries suck. Off-season injuries are the worst. That sucks. And then I Googled DeMarcus Cousins because I was trying to remember where he ended up. I just forgot. I mean, he'd been there for 45 minutes, but yeah, I straight up forgot. You forgetting makes me feel better about forgetting because I feel like you could probably go five deep on every roster in the NBA. Fair?
Hornets would be tough.
Cleveland.
Kevin Love, Colin Sexton, Darius Garland, Tristan Thompson, and J.R. Smith's kind of still there, I think.
Nerd.
I know.
Point proven, though.
Yeah.
And you forgot DeMarcus Cousins was in L.A. Honestly, I had a moment of like, it said Los Angeles, and I was like, wait, which one? Oh, yeah, he went to the Lakers, didn't he? All right, you've now, by my disbelief, you've derailed this in an NBA direction. All is well.
That was by your own doing, too.
Oh, it really was. But all has been righted in this world.
Anyway, Patrick Mahomes is going to regress, but Baker Mayfield won't. Your thoughts?
The comedic timing of your voice crack there was also exceptional. Good work by you so far today.
Thank you!
So, I know that whenever a dude throws 50 touchdowns and 5,000 yards and you expect him to get better the next year, like that's going to make people's brain short circuit. But he's going to get better. He's going to continue to become, and again, this is sort of teasing what we'll talk about with Brooke later in her article. He's going to become more in tune with Andy Reid, which I did not understand this very well until I read this story. They are already very, it's a very symbiotic relationship, which we knew already, but like, it feels like even in things like play design and kicking around ideas, the fact that Patrick Mahomes respects Andy Reid in that regard is not surprising. But it seems like it goes both ways with them in a way that is really exciting because it feels like Patrick Mahomes is sort of learning on a level that's not just being taught what to do, but also how to go about it. And so there are things. I did a national podcast a couple of days ago, and one of the questions was like, if Patrick Mahomes get better, how can he get better? I credit that because I think it's a good question, and it takes it from a perspective that's not all the way zoomed in here microscopically in Kansas City. And I landed on just like general pre-snap reads and things like that because he still has a very small sample size of being in the, you know, being behind center, looking across from him and seeing a defense and trying to figure out what that defense is about to do, not just in any context, but in the specific context of the play they're about to run. The way that I understand it happening for guys like Peyton Manning and Tom Brady and really every veteran, I mean, Alex Smith to an extent, right? But Manning and Brady are the gods of that pre-snap readability. The way that I understand it happening is that as you see it more and more and you see those things in different contexts, it becomes second nature. You stop thinking because you're just processing. And that's a thing where Mahomes can only improve over time. You can't be an MVP at that in your rookie season, at that specific thing. And so imagine the growth that can come from that. We talked to Seth about how good Mahomes has been in the pocket and actually running the offense. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying the things that can absolutely only come with time are going to continue to trickle through the next decade of Patrick Mahomes being here. And so, obviously, that's the first thing. But then you expand outside of Patrick Mahomes and look at the rest of that offense. The backfield is kind of interesting just because I'm not totally sure what Carlos Hyde does here. And I have a couple of notes on that. But like you've seen Darwin Thompson be explosive. Damian Williams looks explosive. Darrell Williams looks like he has a place in the league. Tre'Mon Smith is like the kooky knuckleball project. Just see if he can do something. And he, I got to be honest, like he looked more like a running back than I expected him to in his, you know, first week of training camp as a running back or whatever. Maybe a little longer than that at this point. But I will also say the timeline of training camp is just a blob. It's what's the Doctor Who? I feel like you watch Doctor Who, Beards.
Nope.
Really?
Nope. I've seen an episode or two, but no, I'm not.
Okay, well, there's the thing about how time isn't a thread. It's a big ball of timey-wimey, googly-moogly snuffleupagus or something.
Or in, like, True Detective, where it's a flat circle?
I think I say that in the conversation with Brooke that we will have at 8 and didn't have earlier today in St. Joe. Doctor Who, timey-wimey. Hold on. He calls it, well, I need the full thing, but the thing is too long for a Google preview. A big ball of wibbly-wobbly, timey-wimey stuff was how he described something. Doesn't really matter. That's how time works at training camp. It is not, we went to Ilazarone 2 days in a row and I didn't even realize it. We were there last night. And Nate Taylor of The Athletic, theathletic.com. You can pay for articles and stuff. He mentioned being at Ilazarone yesterday. I was like, oh, wow, did Nate come again yesterday? After we went 2 days ago, we were there. And then he said it again later. It's like, yeah, we were here yesterday, and that would have been me, Nate, Brooke, and Seth. And I was like, oh, it's like, no, Nate, it was like 2 days ago. So, no, we were here yesterday. Oh, my God, that was yesterday? I've lived 1,000 lives in these last 3 days. What's happened here? It's all very strange. But a wonderful time. It's a very weird time. Or any time at all. Who could possibly know? Matt Derrick said...
It is a flat circle.
Matt Derrick said today... I'm going to just be name-dropping, you know, the rest of Chiefs media because everybody was there. Matt Derrick said today as we were leaving the media tent for the final time at camp this year. He said, if you were to tell me that I had been dead this entire training camp, and I was just in a coma, then I woke up, I would believe you. And there's just kind of that haze over the whole thing, and I don't understand what's happening there. But
Matt Derrick of ChiefsDigest.com and Sports Radio 810.
Look at that.
Ta-da!
Look at that. It's our brother now. Anyway, the name I want to go back to, I haven't even said yet. It's not Matt Derrick or Brooke Pryor, Nate Taylor, Blair Kirkhoff, Adam Teicher, Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid. None of those names. Darwin Thompson, Carlos Hyde. I've said lots of names so far. None of them have been Mecole Hardman. Listen, I don't want to tell you how to live your fantasy football life. And honestly, like, I kind of just want everybody else to leave me alone on this one. But wherever Mecole Hardman is going, I'm sure it's behind Sammy Watkins. And by the end, I think that might be wrong. I think they're going to waste 0.02 seconds getting Mecole Hardman into this offense. And this is the thing that I'm like, I'm not like unbelievably confident in this. Don't reach on Mecole Hardman by a million rounds, but if towards the end of the draft he's hanging around, that's a flyer I'm very interested in. Because this offense doesn't need Mecole Hardman. But Andy Reid loves a surplus of speed, and speed may be on both sides of the ball for the Chiefs. That may be the word of camp. Well, I mean, it's Mahomes. And then it's speed. Because everything's faster this year, including the offense that was really fast last year. They essentially just swapped out Chris Conley for Mecole Hardman. And you got a taste of it in that first week. And I told you, the first week of the preseason. And I was telling you, based off of a press conference, that Mecole Hardman just sounded really damn confident about where he fits in this offense and his understanding of this offense. I'm not willing to say he's going to end up with 10 touchdowns on the season, because it might just be picking moments, and if that's the case, it's not worth your fantasy spot because it'll be too hard to predict and all of that. But I cannot get the vision out of my head of an offense that is running out Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, Sammy Watkins, and Mecole Hardman all the time. Just go three wide with those guys. You can kick Kelce out to the slot and make it four. We saw a little bit of some kind of interesting different formations over the last few days. You can bring in whichever tight end two you want to use. I've seen them using Anthony Sherman a little bit more, especially in that goal line package that Seth and I were talking about back on Tuesday. There's a lot of versatility. There are a lot of different options for what they can do. But whenever you start trying to, like, pair up the different things that these guys can do when they're all on the field at the same time, I imagine that Andy Reid goes to sleep at night counting offensive weapons instead of sheep. It's just Tyreek Hill in a full sprint jumping over a fence and then sprinting away again. Then Mecole Hardman comes by and does it almost as fast. And then Travis Kelce comes out and does it, but he jumps over the fence by more. Like, there's just so much there. And I have to think, I guess I would say that if there was going to be sort of a pseudo surprise, I don't think it'd be that surprising because I'm saying that I kind of think it's coming. But if there was going to be a pseudo surprise from this offense relatively early, it's like, oh, wow, they didn't show us that in camp. I think it might just be Mecole Hardman getting more snaps or doing at least more specific things than we were allowed to see in St. Joe. And maybe I'm just rooting for that. I don't know. But, man, there's just too much there. I don't know how any defense stops it. I really don't. Now, I think, Beards, can you turn on in Turch and Logan's microphone? I have a question in Turch and Logan. This is in Turch and Logan's last day. How are you feeling, Logan?
I'm feeling great.
I feel like you should have said you were feeling sad, but that's okay.
Sad? Sad about what?
About it being your last day.
Oh, yeah. I'm sad. I'm sad that it's my last day.
Nice save.
Yeah, thanks.
You said earlier that you saw a tweet that I believe that Peter Schrager said that the Chiefs offense could average
60 points a game.
And so, like, that's, listen, I love,
that's a lot.
It's a freaking lot of points. I love Peter Schrager's passion for this Chiefs offense. I think they averaged, are you looking it up right now, Beards? Are you looking up, like, all time?
Yep.
It was like third all time, I think. I think the Chiefs might have been around 35 last year.
Who is the most? Is it like that Patriots offense from 07, or is it the Rams?
I'm thinking maybe it was the Rams, but I'm not sure. I imagine Beards will find it in 45 to 50 minutes. They're not going to score 60 points a game. And if you said, like, hey, you automatically win the Super Bowl if you average 60 points a game, maybe they literally could in the most impractical sense of the word could. But I do think, I don't really care about the individual metrics and the stats of it all, because other factors can come into play, and there's randomness, and then there are factors of the defense. Do they have to play as hard, you know, late into the games? If the defense is better, maybe not, but will they get more possessions if the defense is better, getting them the ball back more frequently? Yes. So there's a lot that goes into that that I don't really care to predict the number. But if you told me right now, you made me answer, will the Chiefs offense be better in 2019 than it was in 2018? Subjectively, eyeball test, better. I would say yes. because the quarterback's here for another year with the offensive guru coaching him up. There's even more talent catching passes, and the running back room is totally solid for what this offense wants to do. So I'm excited.
The most points in a season in NFL history is the Patriots. They scored 589.
How did he run a lap around you, Beards? Now, hey, you know what,
Well,
Beards?
Actually, it was the Denver Broncos 2013 with 606.
Really?
I was about to make
NFL.com is incorrect.
I was about to make Beards the new intern.
Well, does that include like the postseason?
I don't know. This is just from
Beards?
I don't know. This is just from like FalconsWire.com.
Because this says most points regular season. New England Patriots 589 in 2007.
Are those Broncos on there?
But the Broncos aren't on there.
Was this page made in 2008? What's going on here, guys? I'm going to need somebody to get it together.
Yeah, this is factually incorrect. It says records updated through the 2007 season, yet it's for some reason on the NFL.com page and was the first thing that popped up in my search. I feel like Google needs to get
Can you guys just stand next to each other and then shame zoom on yourselves, on both of you at the same time?
Actually, I think we need to zoom in on NFL.com.
Yeah, I think so.
And also, sorry, Falcons Wire, your source for all things football?
Because it was talking about like the Atlanta Falcons team from a couple years ago and where it stacked in all-time scoring.
I feel like the segment was going really well, and you guys just decided to combine your powers and just poop all over it.
Yeah, the most points in a single season is the Denver Broncos in 2013 with 606.
With a... Really?
606.
That is truly surprising. Now I'm just searching the 2013 Broncos because I feel like I'm going to be at least mildly surprised by the end of it. Didn't they score a bleep ton really early? That's what happened, because they started to deteriorate a little bit because their quarterback's neck was fused together.
Because he was 1,000 years old.
And whose neck was literally fused together.
They did have some really good players. Eric Decker, Demaryius Thomas.
You can talk right into that microphone.
Trenton Holiday.
Beards, what day of his internship do you think he's going to learn to talk into the microphone on this radio program?
The one after his last day.
That hurts.
Yeah, well, you giving me stats from 2007 hurt.
That's also a good point.
How many points did the Chiefs average last year? Why is this so hard?
Why'd you have to yell?
Because I'm upset.
Oh, okay.
Currently trying to navigate Pro Football Reference, trying to find like a all-time list.
I miss Rudy. Rudy would have found it by now.
Are you sure about that?
Yes. Because it's been 45 minutes. Like, and we're also overdue for a break. We could have taken a break and then done it whenever he came back, but no. 35.3 per game. I said I thought it was around 35. Bleep you guys. Come on. What do I need you guys for?
I just found it.
You want to come over here and run the show?
No, I need you to hit the buttons.
There you go.
I'm useless.
I'm glad you said it before I had to.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
We all have things in this life we can't fully explain. What's the purpose of life? Is there a God? And why did the Chiefs cut Jeremy Maclin?
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
What an old liner. Remember when Jeremy Maclin was here? I think he started his coaching career somewhere. With all the talk of the Chiefs offense, I didn't think it was going to include Jeremy Maclin. I also, in retrospect, may have been a little too angry about the Chiefs cutting Jeremy Maclin. That may not have mattered quite as much as I thought it did at the time. I can't have you listen to this video, but Lamar Jackson had a crazy scramble touchdown today that, I mean, just, it's video game stuff, and if it happened in a video game, you would be furious. You would probably quit. But here's a stat that I think is going to really surprise literally anybody. From Warren Sharp at Sharp Football on Twitter, a really good football follow. Lamar Jackson posted a higher yards per attempt and a better passer rating his rookie year than Andrew Luck, Jared Goff, Sam Darnold, Carson Wentz, Derek Carr, Nick Foles, and Andy Dalton. That is surprising to me. I think what this says is that your fantasy teams this year, pick one Lamar Jackson, pick two Mecole Hardman. Rudy Salazar, your thoughts?
Well, let's see. I have Lamar Jackson on my fantasy football team, so...
Good. And now welcome Rudy Salazar back in the studio with us. Now we're going to spend the next two segments talking about Rudy's fantasy team.
So thank you,
John. Everybody cares and will love this.
Thank you.
Is this your crazy dynasty league?
Yeah, yeah. That's the only one I'm actually. I mean, I'm in. I'll be in both of yours. I just haven't.
You just can't be in them yet because yeah. they're not dynasty leagues that go on through an entire offseason for psychotic people.
Yes. Yes.
I say that knowing
you want to be in one
that
so
I
bad.
That I would absolutely in a heartbeat accept an offer to be in this league of psychotic yeah. people.
It's pretty great. Somebody like just this week offered me Tom Brady in a second round pick for Lamar Jackson.
You're out here building for the future,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, exactly. Like, my team.
How long do you have control of Lamar Jackson
Riddick for? Might be my best like running back. Oof. Not now. I drafted a couple, but they're going to be on my practice squad essentially for the year. So I'm not really trying to. Hey, I'm tanking.
You're yes. tanking. Yeah, yeah. Can that be used against you if the commissioner of the league hears you say that you're tanking?
No. So here's the thing. There's a legal way to tank. You have to play your best players that are active, but once all players you draft are automatically put on your practice squad. Once you activate them, you have to leave them like he's activated.
Okay.
But if you leave your rookie on the practice squad, you don't have to play him. Once you've activated him, you have to play your best players. So like if Lamar Jackson's, you know, trending like a top five quarterback or whatever, I can't keep playing Joe Flacco each week.
You're trying harder to tank in this fantasy football dynasty league than I think anyone else in that league is trying to win.
For sure. Well, maybe Petro has been going pretty crazy to win.
That doesn't sound like him.
No.
Sarin is really, really into this dynasty football
league?
Did
I make a trade with Sarin at 1:30 in the morning because he wanted Sammy Watkins because he's all in? No, it didn't happen.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we did.
I was just going into I don't want to say straight up and down. I need to pull up the like average draft position thing because I'm wondering if Mecole Hardman's even getting drafted in standard leagues right now, like 1 year leagues.
Yeah.
But if you were to give me at their value where they're being taken, Watkins or Mecole Hardman, I'm guessing without seeing the average draft position yet, I'm guessing that I would take Mecole Hardman where he's being drafted.
I'm pretty sure he was a first round pick in our rookie draft.
As he should have been.
Yeah, I think he was like a late first. He might have been an early second, but he was like right in that territory.
I'm biting pretty hard on the Mecole Hardman hype. And I might be conducting that train. I'm not sure.
That's what I heard, man, except I didn't listen because I went to tune in at 7 o'clock. I was listening to Taz, and I was like, okay, it's 7 o'clock. I'm going to flip over.
Yeah.
And you know what I did not hear?
SportsCenter.
I did not. So I was like, oh, well, we're obviously the station's not running, so I went back. So I obviously did not hear you talking about Mecole Hardman. It did, but.
So right now, as far as fantasy, I'm at ESPN.com's live draft trends page. Sammy Watkins is going as the 29th receiver off the board.
Mm-hmm.
Average draft position is 79. Tyreek Hill is the 6th receiver off the board, averaging 15. I think that's probably a little bit low. Like I think I would probably take him over Julio Jones right now. I don't know if I would over Odell Beckham or Michael Thomas or Davante Adams or DeAndre Hopkins.
I think I would over Odell maybe simply just because of the Mahomes to Baker Mayfield factor right now. Like not that Baker's not good, just Mahomes is better.
I'm okay with that.
Like Odell, I would say Odell, I'm fine with anybody who says Odell's a better receiver. I would just assume that with Patrick Mahomes throwing the football. But like Michael Thomas is Drew Brees and they run an insane person offense also.
Mecole Hardman is going as the 63rd receiver off the board, pick 167.
Pretty low.
Do you know who he's going right behind? Albert Wilson.
Really?
Yeah.
Ooh.
This is the area in a draft where you start getting a little risky. Now listen, like N'Keal Harry is going at 51, so this might be reasonable for where Hardman's going. I will say that I will not end up with Sammy Watkins on any teams this year, I imagine. And I will probably end up with Mecole Hardman because I'm way more interested in him than Albert Wilson in that spot.
Yeah, I mean, and the reality is...
It depends on what you need and all.
Yeah,
but.
The reality, though, is, like, I hope it doesn't happen, but you can just almost count on Sammy Watkins to miss games. You know, he's not
going to play 16.
You hope it's you know, if he at least plays in 14, you consider that a huge win.
Didn't Jordy Nelson literally retire... Yeah. Like, didn't he sign it? He's going. He's 81st amongst receivers.
I think some people still think there's a chance he comes back, but you know,
Josh Gordon's at 70.
He's retired.
Who's taking Jordy Nelson and Josh Gordon in 2019? Tavon Austin. Why is he on this list?
Well, at NFL.com
because he's a better version of Tyreek Hill.
You know who's at 100 right now?
Cut off my great.
Honestly, didn't hear either of you guys because you just you just walked all over each other.
Time.
Yeah.
Anyways, I was saying Tavon Austin is just a better version of Tyreek Hill. That's why.
97 overall among receivers, not overall, but 170 overall, which actually I think we're in undrafted range now. But DeMarcus Robinson is there at 100. Jeremy Maclin, who I believe is coaching somewhere.
I think he's retired too. Yeah.
He's coaching
pretty
at Kirkwood.
Retired.
Kirkwood High School in St. Louis. And Jordy Nelson retired on August 6th.
Yeah.
102,
I mean,
Kelvin Benjamin.
They might come back.
At this point, these are just guys who are not being drafted, but I am enjoying the names that are showing up in this list. Because I haven't, like, I'm getting some other Chiefs guys. Marcus Kemp is in this undrafted list. Along with Pierre Garçon. What happened to Pierre Garçon, huh?
Is he with San Francisco?
That's what I have him with last, but last year he only caught 24 passes.
Yeah, I think
remember when Pierre Garçon was a big freaking deal?
When Peyton Manning was throwing him passes?
I mean, that'll do it.
Yeah.
I think Pierre Garçon's still a free agent. I don't think he's with the team right now.
It says San Francisco on this, but honestly, I don't trust you, Beards, or Rudy to successfully read the internet right now.
Yeah,
I don't trust any of you one bit.
Why? Is there something I did?
Well, yes, because the thing that you did was not listen to the show so
no,
you could
I
hear
was,
what Beards
I
and Church
and
Logan
did. I missed the last 5 minutes of the first segment.
That was the best 5 minutes.
Because I was walking
it was
up.
Those 5 minutes were me trying to see if Beards or Logan could find me a stat that then I had to go find myself after both of them gave me bad stats.
I didn't give bad stats. I was listening,
I had the correct
though,
stat.
Prior to that.
You had the correct stat for the wrong thing. I wasn't looking for that. I needed to know what the Chiefs had last year. They scored 30. I thought they scored about 35 points per game last year. It's 35.3.
When you initially
find it, by the way,
when you initially turned his, when the interns mic came on to mention the Peter Schrager thing, that's when I got out of the vehicle to start walking inside. So, but to prove that I listened, Beards cannot name five players for all in every NBA team because the Lakers still only have four. So ha.
How deep is that roster right now? If you have healthy players.
Is it still just Kuzma?
Are they good?
LeBron,
are they any good?
Anthony
LeBron,
Davis.
AD, Kuzma.
Rondo's there.
Oh, that's right. They did sign Rondo.
They have one other crazy guy.
KCP's there. Still.
KCP.
And
okay,
his ankle monitor.
Okay.
You can never forget about Alex Caruso.
Alex Caruso.
Hey, Logan.
There.
Bleep you. Yes, I can.
Absolutely.
I think JaVale McGee's still there.
Male Pattern Mamba. Alex Caruso.
Male Pattern Mamba's pretty good.
That was pretty good.
I don't want to talk about the Lakers.
I don't either.
Why did you guys all do this to me?
I was just proving.
You did it to yourself.
Not this time. The first time I did it
this
time.
This time you questioned that me listening. I had to prove it.
Yeah, and you not listening on your drive back from a remote. I mean, you would never. So clearly my skepticism is unfounded.
Well, like I said, I did turn it on right at 7, expecting a sports center. I just assumed the station was off at that point.
Jehu Chesson. Still in the league somewhere?
Colts.
It says Washington here.
Oh, Washington. Okay. That's
Hold on.
Right. Yeah,
you guys remember Jehu Chesson?
I do.
There
Michigan.
Are so many of
fourth
these guys.
Round pick from Michigan.
There's so many of these guys that go in that like third, fourth, fifth round range. You're like, hey, he could be the new wide receiver 3. Like we used to do that all the time.
Fourth
and
round
now
is
we are
really
doing
popular.
That. Now we are doing that with Mecole freaking Hardman. A dude who runs like, I think, let me Google here really quick. Tap, 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 tap. A 3.240. It's not actually true.
Slow.
It's not actually true. It was a 3 flat. We're in such a better place right now, you guys. We're talking about the offense being the fastest thing anyone's ever seen, and this is where we're at. You know who actually who signed off on this being the fastest offense he's ever seen? Tyrann Mathieu.
Did he?
He sure did. Would you like to hear him talk about that?
I would.
You can do that. Next.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
Prepare to be disappointed.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Beard just throwing a fit because we're not enough time. Here's Tyrann Mathieu. He was asked today. That happened today. He was asked today if he's ever played for or against a team with this much speed on offense.
Nah. I mean, I had Bruce Arians in Arizona. He loved fast guys, but I've never quite played on a team or against a team. In my opinion, it's probably the best 7-on-7 football team ever. Just with all the talent they have, offense. So, I mean, it's a lot of guys you got to account for. And I think ultimately that made us better, too, defensively in this camp. Just, having to focus on, the entire picture, the big picture,
versus just, you know, trying to, you know, stop Tyreek. You know, so I think they have a plethora of guys that can get it done.
Is that the biggest challenge in 11, I'm stopping these guys in an 11-on-11 football?
Without a doubt, without a doubt. And you know, you add to it, you got a great quarterback, a guy that can put the ball, you know, anywhere on the field. And, you know, he just seems to always find the open guy. Rarely does he throw interceptions. So I think anytime you can play with a quarterback that takes care of the ball, knows where the ball is supposed to be, it's always going to stress the defense.
All right, let's break that down. We have 7 seconds to do it. How much time do we have, Beards?
30.
All right, 30 seconds. That's great.
6 now.
I like that he said that it could be the best. It's the best 7-on-7 team ever. The speed is crazy.
Yeah.
The speed is also better now on the defensive side, which I think is worth noting. But again, most importantly, this offense is Jimmy John's. Like, it is freaky fast.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that and a lot of other bleep with Brooke Pryor, the Kansas City Star, next year on Almost Entirely
Sports.
Yeah,
we will.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe on Sports Radio 810 WHB.